welcome to 15 Minutes of Game, an improvised podcast about improv, because the internet needed another one. I'm Matt.
And I'm Brian, and Matt and I were both performers and teachers with the CT Comedy Theater in Hartford, Connecticut.
And we're going to try and explain improv comedy concepts to you in 15 minutes or less.
From the moment our podcast starts, which means the clock is already running.
Because if we can't explain something in 15 minutes, we'll never be able to explain it at all.
Now, Matt and I both know the concept that we're going to cover on this episode, but we have not discussed it ahead of time, so we might confuse each other or completely disagree.
So sit back and enjoy the next 14 minutes and 21 seconds while we talk about favorite, least favorite. So this is a concept that came up in one of our recent recordings where we wanted to talk about like our favorite and least favorite forms.
Right. And we're going to start with forms, and based on time, we'll poke.
Yeah, we may expand to other things.
Cool. Do you want to start with favorite or least favorite?
I would rather start with good news. I'm a good news person.
Great. And this is the one I already struggle with. So I'm going to be selfish.
Okay.
Classic improv move, make it about me.
Yep. Naturally.
And make you do all the work. Uh-huh. That's my move. But Matt, do you have a favorite improv form to play and perform?
To play? Absolutely.
To be a part of. Yeah.
Yep. My favorite improv form to play is the Evente.
I am not surprised. Okay.
Yeah, I don't think anybody who knows me is surprised. And it, I think, is the most naturally versatile form to show off, not show off, to exercise the most different improv skill sets. Because you have a real acting challenge, you have a real storytelling challenge, you have a real game challenge, you have a real character creation challenge, you have a real timing challenge, you have a memory challenge, and it all just comes together. And if you do it well, it is the most satisfying thing to watch or to be a part of in improv, I think. Because when you play the opening scene a second time and you hit a button by saying the same words you said the first time, it's delicious. It's just delicious.
Yeah. In an Evente, in case someone only tunes in for this episode, you do a scene, it's an event.
Yes.
Then you do a bunch of like history or philosophy and the kind of how all these characters interact in different points of time. Mm-hmm. And then you revisit the same exact event you already saw, implementing all the new information you saw from the set.
Yes.
Is that good enough?
That's the basic gist of it.
Good enough. Mm-hmm. Interesting about event. I think I've shared this with you. Like, and Matt has taught an Evente class in Hartford. I believe you've coached an Evente team.
Mm-hmm.
I know when I watch the team, like, oh, I would love to play on this team. And this is not my answer for favorite set, but I'm like, ooh, I think I could do some damage. That looks like a lot of fun.
It is.
So that's a compliment to you in that form. Like, ooh, that would be a fun one to play.
Thanks. I did not create it.
Not create it. You taught it, though. Yeah. We haven't had – I think there's only one Evente – or one team that really focuses on Evente, though.
Yes.
That's fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What about you? What's your favorite?
Man, I don't know. Like, so my question is, two-prov is not a form, is it?
Not really. And I've actually tried to get out of you what the two-prov form that you and Quagan do is, because that's so much fun to watch.
We are two people who love each other, and we just have fun.
Mm-hmm.
Whether there's one person or 1,000 people, it's going to be the same show.
I mean, I guess organic. It could be an organic two-prov. Like, that could for sure be a form, I guess.
I think one of my – and I haven't done it a lot, but I have had a blast doing a Spokane or a version of –
okay.
Meaning, because I love cuts. Mm-hmm. You know that. I love walk-ons. I love tag-outs. And then I love revisiting the home scene, which I think a lot of this stuff I do, we'd never get back to the home scene. Mm-hmm. I love the Spokane.
You go off on tangents, so yeah.
Yeah. Having, I like runs. I like quick runs. I like quick moves.
But having that like anchor scene to come back to is, I could see that being good for you. Yeah.
And which is weird because that's my favorite form. I've only done it a handful of times.
Really?
I did it with Helena, my wife now, mm-hmm. in Tuprov, and we had so much fun. She does Spokane all the time, and I do Tuprov mm-hmm. all the time, so it was a really good combo.
Yeah.
But it was so much fun to, like, mention something in a home scene, see it, mm-hmm. and then go back to the home scene so the audience can kind of see it, like, oh, I wonder what happened when this happened, and then they see it. Explain the Spokane.
Yeah, so a Spokane starts with a base scene, and it's, like, not... It's not intentionally weird or, like, crazy.
Right.
And then when something fun comes up, rather than explore it to death in the scene, you you tag away and you see that fun idea explored. And it doesn't necessarily need to be explored by the characters who are in the scene. It right. can just be the idea that's explored.
Right.
So if the weird, the fun idea is... a jousting match, if they're talking about like wanting to, if the two characters in the scene are talking about wanting to joust, you could see two jousters talking about how much they hate jousting and they wish that they were accountants or whatever. And you see, or it could involve the characters, like they could do a jousting festival and go on a vacation to there. And then right. you come back to the base scene and you keep playing it as though no time has passed.
And I think to your point, where like when Brian Quagan and I play Tuprov, our scenes are like little... this is actually, I think we hit it, little mini Spokanes. It might not be a Spokane set, but we'll do a scene and we'll say something kind of funny and we will jump to another piece of the stage and play that out and then jump back.
Yeah.
And that scene does jump back and forth to the things. And I think that's where we have the most fun.
Spokanelets.
Spokettes.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I would love to do the Spokane more.
Mm-hmm.
I'm jealous when I watch Mystery Switch that I'm not on that team. Mm-hmm. Every time.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay, let's do the mm-hmm. do the nasty one. Now this is okay. We're not knocking any team that does this. This is a personal choice.
Personal preference.
What form doesn't get you going?
So I personally hate the Lorand.
I am surprised by that choice, but go ahead.
It really, it's one of the things that I love about improv is getting to do group games and to getting to like have everybody be brought onto the same page organically. And in a Lorand, you're only ever playing with one other person. And you're trying to tell a cohesive story, but you're doing it in small vignettes, and it for me it's like the worst part of a team exercise. So like
right.
you have to tell the story, but you have no control over how any of it develops. And even if you set up like huge breadcrumbs, somebody else can just be like, "Oh, I enjoy this other thing that I was thinking about on the back line," and come in and just like totally go in a dramatically different direction that's not based off of anything that's been established, but
right.
but still do a LaRonde because somebody had a brain fart on the back line.
Yeah. But man, when you see a LaRonde work, it's so fun.
Oh yeah.
If you had like seven character players up there, get your popcorn. It's a blast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah. That's my personal least favorite. I also cool. think that I've seen more Lorands go horribly wrong than I have seen them go extremely well.
Interesting. See, I see them in class a lot, and those are going to go wrong, but that's okay. You want to go wrong in class.
Mm-hmm.
And then when I do see it on stage, it's gone well.
Hmm. I've also only done a couple of them, so I have not given it a fair shake.
But if it doesn't just kind of jive with you, that's a thing. That's legit, whatever. I don't like watching baseball. That's fine. It's still a great sport.
fair point. What's yours? What's your least
favorite?
To play in.
Yeah. Long-form musical.
Mm.
And I'm going to call that a form. I took a workshop, a one-night drop-in, about long-form musical. And it's so much fun. But I could feel myself. I was so, like, I was thinking of the song three scenes ahead of when I needed to be there.
Gotcha.
I was like, oh, you know what? It was a distraction to me, where I think most folks, it's more of like the fun thing to play with. So mm-hmm. I was like, yeah, I think I would be not listening if I did long form musical.
Yeah, I definitely feel like that's a thing that you can get deep into your head about. Mm-hmm. That's another thing that I have not explored at all in improv. I mean, like, I sing, you know, when I have to. I've been endowed as an opera singer, and I was like, okay, here we go. But, like, I've never done a long-form musical.
I've only done it once or twice, kind of. I'll call it a workshop, the drop-in mm-hmm. session that we do.
Yeah.
And then we did, like, a little mini one at one point. And however, it's one of my favorite things to watch. And I remember watching, like, some of our musical teams and shows. I'm like, I'm so glad there's a form out there that I just want to watch and not do. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm not jealous to be up there. Like the event, I'm jealous every mm-hmm. time.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, I would do this. Not in a selfish way, but like, oh. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. They're having so much fun. I love watching them do it. Yeah. Cool. On that, like, what's the form? Is Evente the form you're most jealous of other people playing?
Yeah, I think it is because, I mean, it's similar to a Spokane. Let's call it what it is.
Yeah.
But it's more anchored in base reality. And I love base reality. I love base reality. Like, I was thinking while you were talking about the Evente, like, if you think about the show Arrested Development, a well-to-do family who is hard on their luck, and then you start to kind of see all this dysfunction. That was, and then they break away to all this history, philosophy, and past and future of how they got there. Like, that's an event. Arrested Development, the first three seasons, I think, is an Evente, and it's
beautiful and back.
Hilarious.
And usually, you see the first scene replayed some way at the end. I love that.
Or at least they give you a whole bunch of information, and they cut right back to the scene, and then you can see, oh, now I see why the mother's like this, or what have you.
Yeah.
So yeah. What about you? Is there a scene that you think you're okay at, but you would like another crack at?
Oh, I wish that I could. I wish that I was better at monoscenes. Like, monoscene is just such a fun thing to watch. And it has everything. It's like a herald, but it's also an acting exercise, and it's like you're writing a play, but you also are playing game, and you're playing with characters, and it's a thing that moves too quickly and too fluidly for my brain to keep up with. But I love watching mono scenes, and I wish that I could play in them more.
It is a fun one. And when they go right, it's so rewarding. I think a mono scene, a good mono scene blackout, is the best blackout in the business.
Because you've earned it. It's one of the things that you've truly, truly earned. Like, ending a herald with a good blackout is fun.
Yeah.
But you know when the herald is wrapping up. A mono scene, the tech booth doesn't know until they know. Like, it's going to be 20 to 25 minutes, sure, depending on the length of this set. But, like, it's really, like, when you've told your story, when you've brought back one of the characters that left early, when you've hit like that perfect moment of catharsis or whatever it is, it's just so, it's so rewarding.
Is there a, just with the clock ticking, is there a form that you were not sold on and kind of came around on?
Actually, I think an organic set. Uh-huh. I was like, this seems like it's too vague. And then I've done them, and like, it's not a montage. It's something totally different. I mean, I don't think you can really do it until you have a bunch of other forms under your belt so that you know sort of like what feels good in a show. But then creating your own form in a show is awesome. What about you?
Probably a mono scene, which is a repeat. I know we talked about that a lot because I like to play the quick snaps, and I rely on edits a lot, not as a crutch, but I think it's something I like to play with. You can edit, and I'm using air quotes, a great podcast thing to do.
Yeah. Visual medium, classically.
Yeah. You can edit and cut back and talk about and reference history in a mono scene. Mm-hmm. But it's a little trickier. So I think that's why I was always like, I'm not sure if this is for me.
Yeah. I love monoscenes.
Don't care. That's time. Wow. So that's our favorite. Yeah.
Don't care.
We have rules at 15 minutes. I no longer care what spews out of your mouth. I don't care if you need insulin or if there's a burglar in your house. I'm not coming.
Well, it would be a long drive.
for either insulin or a burglar.
Yes. I hope that you would not be my first call for either of those things. But you are the only phone number that I have memorized. We've already established it. That's canon. yeah. I mean, there's a million forms that we didn't talk about. Mm-hmm. And there are forms that I absolutely adore that we didn't talk about. But
yeah,
you'll never know what they are.
No, we won't. But it is interesting, and this isn't cheating. All of these forms, the core concepts exist.
Mm-hmm.
Listening, heightening,
mm-hmm.
yes, anding. It doesn't matter the form.
Yeah.
Carry your core concepts, and you will at least be fine. Like even in musical, where I was really struggling, if I just agreed, I was okay. I got through it.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. And, like, even in La Ronde, like, if you play a fun character and you just accept that whatever happens is going to happen, and you know that character that you love may never come back. It can,
you know,
be
what's
really
weird.
Show.
It's both of us like, but neither one of us named the Herald.
I love the Herald, but it's not my favorite.
Yeah, and I teach it a lot.
Mm-hmm. I am surprised that you didn't say the Herald is your favorite.
It's my favorite to teach.
Gotcha.
It's a different episode. That's my favorite to teach.
Avente is still my favorite to teach.
And play. All right. Well, you're a cheater.
I am a cheater.
Cool. Well, if you want to hear more from us cheaters, check us out at Spotify, Apple, Stitcher, Anchor, blah, blah, blah.
We're at all the plot. That's not a sentence. We're sure on all of the podcast things. We're also on Facebook and the Twitters. If you have ideas for episodes or, you know, questions about things you want us to talk about, hit us up.
We're going to start calling out for some of those ideas because season 3 is coming up and we're going to try to – I think we both agreed throughout these episodes. We're going to mix it up a bit and have some fun.
Yeah. Yeah. We've been very boring so far.
Yeah. Season 3 is going to be mostly just a summary of the Library of Congress.
Mm-hmm. Talk about our true passion in improv. Reading dictionaries.
Reading dictionaries that are no longer in print. Mm-hmm. Cool. Well, Matt, this has been fun. I knew you were going to say event. Oh, did I surprise you with my answer?
You did. Spokane? I was surprised. I genuinely thought it was going to be Harold.
Ah, all right.
But Spokane makes sense.
Tune in next week, folks. We're going to blow your minds again.
I also, before we go, I am glad that we got to Spokets. I think that's great.
What was it?
Spokets for you and Brian.
Oh, yeah. We do the Spokette. And now you know, should anyone quit the Avente team and I move back to Connecticut,
mm-hmm.
I will try out to replace... Probably Mike. Mm-hmm. All right, folks. That was a lot of inside baseball. Thank you for listening. Yep. We'll see you in a week.
All right. Bye.